Welcome to Paint Ed. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, visit pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all of you non-members out there, sign up for a free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the App Store and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Contractor Evolution. This is Benji. Let's begin. So arguably, one of the most common frustrations of entrepreneurs is that feeling of being misunderstood by employees or partners or vendors when we're discussing the future, the strategy, the vision, right? That mental image, to you at least, feels unbelievably clear. It feels precise and detailed and exciting. It's like, how could you not get this? How could you not be fired up about this? And many of you have no doubt felt the anticlimax of talking about your visions excitedly, only to be met with a blank stare, a shoulder shrug, huh? So Cameron Harold is back on the show today to lay out the solution to your visionary woes. His 2018 book, Vivid Vision, became an instant classic in the small business community because it completely transforms the way we approach strategy and visioning for our businesses through what he calls the painted picture exercise. And today I get to pick his brain on it. So over the next little bit, expect to learn what most of the traditional planning tools like mission statements and one-page plans leave out. We'll talk a lot about how to create a painted picture step by step. It's actually a super fun and rewarding exercise that you'll love. And lastly, we talk about how to roll out that painted picture with your team, turn it into your rallying cry, and begin reverse engineering the steps for execution. By the way, if you want to learn more about Cameron's COO Alliance or his Invest in Your Leaders course, both of which he talks about at the end of the episode, links for those will be in the description. Cameron is a great podcast guest. That's why we had him back. You're going to love this one.
You're watching Contractor Evolution, where we unpack the systems, tactics, and skills you need to take your fast-growing contracting business to the next level.
You're here to learn what it takes to scale up, work less, and increase profitability. You've come to the right place.
Stay tuned to learn what separates the new breed of contractor from the old school, and welcome to your ultimate guide on the business of contracting.
Cameron, welcome back to the show, man. Thanks for doing this again.
Of course. Good to see you.
So last time we talked about the new book, The Second in Command. This time we're going to talk about kind of an older classic, Vivid Vision, which is one a lot of our listeners have read and love and implemented. But I wanted to go a few layers deeper. So here's my first question. Why are most employees in the context of the business they work in, to a large extent, confused about the business and its plans and its future? And at the same token, why are most entrepreneurs confused about why those employees are confused?
Huh. It's almost like we assume that everybody saw the same movie. You know, if I walked around assuming that everyone has seen the movie The Sound of Music, and I'm making references to the movie The Sound of the Music, you know, with Julie Andrews and The Hills Are Alive, but if you've never seen the movie, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And for the entrepreneur, they're very clear on what their company looks like. They're very clear on what the future is they're building. They're very clear on every aspect of the company and what they want it to be like, because it's their vision. And everybody else shows up trying to make the best educated guesses on a day-to-day basis, or the employees are focused on a project, they're focused on a goal, they're focused on an OKR, but they don't have the whole picture. And that usually is where the confusion lies. Nobody shows up at work trying to make a mistake or trying to do a bad job. But, you know, if you've never seen the movie, you're just guessing.
This might seem like a basic question, but on a very like fundamental level, on a first principles thinking level, why is vision so important to a business's long-term success? And maybe a better way to ask it is what happens without it?
Well, there's always vision. The problem is that more often than not, the vision's not shared.
Right.
Right. Again, the entrepreneur, the CEO tends to have a vision, but if they don't share it, everyone else is trying to figure it out. It's like herding cats. Mm. So in the absence of vision, you're constantly trying to align people, pull them back in place. You're getting frustrated. Why are you making that stupid decision? So like, have you seen the movie The Sound of Music?
Mm-hmm. When I was a kid.
Okay, so there's a very famous scene in the movie where they're having a picnic and they're up in the Swiss Alps or the Austrian Alps. They're singing and dancing. They have a picnic basket. Julie Andrews is playing guitar and she's singing "The Hills Are Alive" with the Sound of Music, right? It's a very famous scene.
Iconic.
Now, if you've never seen the movie and I said to you, can you recreate the picnic scene? Is it at a park or at a lake or in the mountains? You might say it's at a park. And then I say, what are the kids doing at the picnic? Are they playing baseball, playing croquet, or dancing? You're like, oh, they're playing baseball. And you know, where did you get the food? Oh, we bought it from the grocery store. So if you're trying to recreate a scene and you've never seen the movie, that sounds very plausible. Get the food at a grocery store, get all the kids together, have a pickup game of baseball. We'll have it at a park, maybe on the ocean. Sounds great. Wrong scene, wrong movie. So that's what happens in business, is entrepreneurs are getting frustrated that these very smart employees, often very aligned employees, are making up guesses because they don't have the rest of the picture, right? They don't know what the culture is supposed to be like. They don't know what the meeting rhythm is supposed to be like. They don't see what the CEO can see.
And what is wrong with most of the more traditional strategy tools, whether that be a one-page strategic plan or a mission statement or what have you? The list goes on. Could you critique those?
Yeah, so the mission statement, which was really kind of developed back in the 70s and 80s, was a traditional tool where you would get a group of leaders together. They would all put their favorite inspiring words up on a whiteboard or a flip chart. They would vote and debate on what their favorite words were. They'd end up with 7 or 8 words and they'd mash them up into one sentence. And that became your mission statement, right? Go team. Right. Well, the reality was we all felt like it was kind of cheesy, stupid. It was very watered down. It felt very government-y, frankly. And it didn't actually explain the whole kind of company. Again, if you're building a home and I said, build a postmodern architectural family home, that's kind of like a mission statement. But if I give you pictures and drawings and sketches, then you understand so much more of what I want the home to look like. It's a 3-story, it's got lots of glass, it's facing the ocean, it's got room for family. I see what the furniture looks like. It's very kind of like shabby chic, whatever it's going to be, right? There's just so much more to the picture than that one sentence. The one-page plan, which was a concept developed by Vern Harnish, who originally wrote Rockefeller Habits and then the book Scaling Up. And then that was actually even made smaller into the Vision Traction Organizer, the VTO by Gino Wickman in his book Traction, and used in the EOS model. Those are good, but they're a series of goals and focal points for a company. So the one-page plan, which is actually an 11 by 17, it's really 2 full pages, has things like your 5-year goals, your 1-year goal, your ROCs, your BHAG, your core values, you know, your vision. It has key metrics. It has all these different operating points, which is very, very critical. But those are kind of the almost like the architectural blueprints or the plans to make the vision come true. The same with the VTO. The Vision Traction Organizer is merely a bunch of longer-term goals that are going to help you make the vision or the vivid vision come true. What I crafted was that vivid vision concept. We learned it back in 1998, so we've been using it around the world for almost 26 years. This is a different tool that comes before the one-page plan and comes before the VTO. And it massively replaces the mission statement, which is just completely useless.
Well, so let's talk about, walk us through what a vivid vision is.
Sure. Yeah, we should have started with that because I kind of ran down that that railway pretty fast. So the vivid vision is a 4 or 5 page written description of what your company looks like, acts like, and feels like 3 years in the future. So if we were writing it right now, we'd be leaning out to kind of December 31st, 2026, and we'd be describing what our company feels like, almost as if we hop into the DeLorean time machine, we kind of blast off 3 years into the future, we get out, and we walk around and we describe our company. We don't know how we got there, so we can't explain how we built it, but we can describe every aspect of our company. We can describe what operations looks like, maybe with 3 or 4 points. We can describe what marketing looks like. We can describe IT. We can describe finance. We can describe customer service. We can talk about our meeting rhythms and our use of dashboards. We can talk about what the customers are writing about us online and what our employees are writing on Indeed and Glassdoor. We can talk about our relationships with suppliers and banks. We can talk about the buzz and what the media is crafting about us. We can talk about the entire culture and feeling of our entire company as if we already built it. The key is to only lean out 3 years. If you go out 10 years or 20 years, you're really kind of starting to think about the BHAG. It's just too far out there. It's important to have a BHAG, right? To colonize Mars or to crush Adidas, or my BHAG is to replace vision statements with vivid visions worldwide. But that's kind of like a one sentence, long-term, big, hairy, audacious goal, the Jim Collins concept. But you're not going to have a plan for something so far out. We don't have a plan to colonize Mars. We have that long-term push. The plan is what we're working on kind of over the next 1 year to make the 3-year vivid vision come true.
Couple things I could dig into. I guess first of all, you mentioned 4 or 5 pages. That's, you know, I'm off the top of my head, I can't figure out how many words that is, but it's a number of paragraphs. This is not just a few sentences. So there's quite a bit of real estate for writing. Can you talk about the importance or the role that level of description and that level of detail plays?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just speaking with a COO the other day, one of our members of the CEO Alliance, and he said his CEO has written about 8 pages in rough for the Vivid Vision. And I said, perfect. Tell him to stop and let's introduce him to a copywriter that can take those 8 pages and kind of consolidate them down to 4 or 5 really, really well-written pages. And let's get this copywriter to ask the CEO some more questions to better understand some of the areas to really craft something that pops off the page. I've rarely found a entrepreneur who's a great copywriter unless they're kind of in the copywriting or marketing business. Most entrepreneurs, most CEOs can get the vivid vision to a good, solid, rough series of bullet points or maybe a good, solid, rough draft, but the copywriter can polish it and make it pop off the page.
Is there anything intrinsically special about this 3-year window versus, say, 1 year versus, say, 10 years? You kind of hinted at it, but I feel like there's something important about the time frame.
Yeah, it's interesting. If I was to stand up and I leaned out, if I lean too far, I fall over. So if you kind of lean too far out into the future, it's so far out there that nobody gets that excited about it because it's still 7 years away or 10 years away that there's no tension to start working on it. It also just seems like so esoteric and so different from what you have today that it doesn't even seem plausible, right? It's kind of like somebody who has never built their first home. Maybe they've painted a home and now they want to build a skyscraper. It's like, let's start with a home first, right? You're describing something that's just too far out there. And if you only go out 1 year, if you're describing your company 1 year from today, it probably doesn't look that different from what you have right now. It doesn't, again, provide enough excitement. So 3 years tended to feel like about that magic number. We also wanted people to make sure that they don't put the plans in place for 3 years out. You're going to have the vivid vision for 3 years. And it's key to make sure that people understand that some parts of it won't come true until the 3rd year. Some parts of it won't come true until the 2nd year. Some parts will come true in 4th quarter, 3rd quarter, 2nd quarter. The key is to put the plans in place for the 1st year. And then towards the end of the 1st year, you'll put in the 2nd year plans, et cetera, for 3rd year.
And then the last thing I want to ask you about is just, you talk about it in the book, like the power of the written word versus, you know, I think it's kind of a corny example, but versus like the, you know, these collages of pictures or versus say just, hey, I'm going to speak about, talk about, I'm going to orate about my opinions or my views or my vision of the future. There's something really important about the fact that this is forced into writing, into text. So what role does that play?
Yeah, great question. So John Ashraf in the movie, The Secret, popularized the concept of the vision board.
Yes.
And the vision board is a tool that is fantastic for one person. But the problem is a picture says 1,000 words. So as an example, if I held up I don't have my book, The Second in Command, in front of me, I should, but if I held up my first book, which is called Double Double, and I'm showing you the picture of this book, what do you see on this book?
I see a peace sign that looks like it's maybe punched through a canvas or something.
Okay, yeah. Now, maybe all I wanted to show you was the colors of white and red. Maybe this picture illustrated how red was an important color in my life. How the hell are you supposed to know that?
Right.
Because a picture says 1,000 words. So if I have a collage or a vision board with 20 pictures on it, those 20 pictures are going to represent something very powerful for me. My old vision board had a picture of a table with 2 champagne glasses on it. people might have thought it was like fancy entertaining, fancy dinners. All it meant for me was celebrate. The champagne glasses in the picture represented celebration. So for me, that was a good image, but for you, it might have been saying something completely different. So what I love is to write the vivid vision, to share with your customers, your suppliers, your employees. You share it with potential employees. You share it with all of the stakeholders. And then you can have each individual employee create a vision board for the pictures that would represent the parts of the vivid vision that they're excited about. So they could create something visual that sits at their desk, hangs over their office, you know, place it up in their bathroom, whatever. That vision board is something that's very, very powerful as a representational tool for a single person, but not to be shared amongst others. Mm. The written word is easier.
Is there anything else you would say about why this format of going about it is more effective than those yeah. more traditional routes?
Yeah, and it's interesting. I have a partner who works with companies all over the world around vivid vision. Her name is Jennifer Houdet. She helps clients craft their vivid visions. She's currently working on a model where we can take every sentence of the vivid vision and we can come up with one or two projects to make every sentence come true. And then you can end up with a laundry list. So let's say you've got 150 sentences in your vivid vision. You might end up with 300 projects to make those 150 sentences come true. Now you can rank order those projects as to which ones you should work on first. Very similar to building a home. Most homeowners are super excited about putting in the Wolf stove and the beautiful cabinets and the Sub-Zero fridge, but you don't put that in on day one. Mm. Even though they're excited and they want to see what it looks like, you got to spend months working on the foundation. Then you spend months putting in the walls and the electrical and the plumbing and the framing, but they're all excited about that damn Wolf stove and the stupid yeah. cabinets. Yeah. So we have to remind them that parts of their home aren't going to come true until the 12th month,
right?
Much like building a home. So the vivid vision is this series of projects, or it becomes a series of projects that you can then create the plans to focus on, and employees can now see what specifically we're doing to make each sentence come true. And they can also get excited about specific sentences or specific projects that excite them that are related to their business area. So they're starting to find meaning in their work. And it reminds me of an old story 100 years ago, these three guys sitting out on the dirt in Barcelona, and they're making bricks. And they asked the first guy, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm making bricks." They said to the second guy, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building a wall. I get to make the bricks to build this wall." And they asked the third guy, "What are you doing?" He said, "We're building the cathedral called the Sagrada Familia. It's going to be the most incredible cathedral to worship God, and I get to make the bricks to build the left wall of the cathedral."
Right.
All three of them were doing the same job, but the one who saw the vivid vision, who understood the plans, saw value and meaning in their individual work as a part of the bigger picture. That's the power of the vivid vision concept and how it aligns people.
The other thing I'll just mention too, because you're talking about the benefits for the team and this rallying cry and the ability to communicate. I think the other really cool role is it acts as, for the entrepreneur, it kind of acts as a bit of a forcing function for the leader, because they now have to. A lot of us are quite, what's the word? Like, we think we're more descriptive, or we think we have the plan more dialed in than we do, because we kind of drive around with mental images and we get these moments of inspiration. Sometimes they're so profound that it brings a tear to our eye. And we convince ourselves that this sort of interiority, this inner world where we live, where the future seems bright and exciting, is fully baked.
Yeah.
To use a colloquialism. And it isn't. And the word, the pages, the actual empty real estate when you're in Microsoft Word forces you to be descriptive in a way that you won't, totally. But think you will if you don't do it.
Totally. And you know, you nailed something that I've rarely talked about. The entrepreneurs do tend to think that we're explaining our vision quite clearly. The next time you have a really good dream at night, like a really great, vivid dream that was like, whoa, that was freaking cool. Try explaining your dream to somebody. You realize pretty quickly, it's really hard to tell someone about the dream that you can still see in your, and finally you're like, oh, screw it. It was a great dream.
That's right? Exactly how it goes too. You get about three sentences into it and you go, this is not making sense. You know, it was so cool. Right? It was cool though. Yeah.
And so what happens for entrepreneurs is they get frustrated that people can't read their minds, yeah. or I explained that to you, but we don't realize that there were all the other missing pieces. So The value here is the alignment.
Yeah.
I've coached clients now in 28 countries to craft vivid visions in their countries, multiple languages, multiple business types. The alignment power that happens from this is really incredible. I've also seen companies that have used their vivid vision to land bank financing because the bank finally understands what the business does. They never understood the business plans. They never understood the pitch deck. They never understood the spreadsheets. But they read this 4 or 5 page description of the company, like, oh, I get it. And they're excited to invest. The second thing is I've seen clients go out or companies go out and land multi-million dollar contracts from customers who were so excited about what the company was going to become versus what it is today. So I'm drinking a coffee right now, and the lid is by Solo Cups. So do you know who Solo makes the lids for? Coffee cups?
No.
I'm not drinking one right now, but they make them for Starbucks. Now, if Starbucks back in 1986 went to Solo and said, hey, we want you to make cups for our little coffee chain, they would have said, yeah, we're not interested.
Right.
But if they sold them on the vision 3 years later for what Starbucks was going to become, and maybe their vivid vision also explained the BHAG and their core purpose, they'd be like, I'll bet on you today. That's the power. The vivid vision also gets employees to quit their jobs and come and work for companies. They'll quit their job and actually walk in a door for a company that isn't what they're going to become, but they're excited about getting to build towards that.
Okay, so let's maybe break this down a little. Like, what are the steps in that you recommend to writing one of these?
The first step is you've got to get out of the box. You can't sit in your office and craft a vivid vision.
Why?
You can't sit it because you get stuck in planning. You get stuck in the how, or you get dragged back into email, dragged back into Slack, dragged back into discussions. Hey, do you have 2 minutes? You need to go somewhere where you're inspired. Ideally, I tell people to go somewhere around nature. Go sit near the golf course. Go sit near the ocean or a lake or a river. Go up in the mountains. Go to a park. If it's the middle of winter, go sit in some fancy 5-star hotel in the lobby by the fireplace. Sit somewhere where you can relax and it's inspiring and you can allow your mind to dream. And then do not take an iPad or a MacBook or a phone with you. Take an old school notebook and a pen and start to mind map about different aspects of your business. So a mind map is just a series of sections that you're going to jot down ideas about as they come to you. Right. So you'll open up a book, you'll write down marketing and you'll scribble down a couple ideas and you'll think about sales. You'll scribble down a couple ideas. Oh, you got another marketing idea. You'll write it down. Think about operations. Think about customer. You keep scribbling down all these ideas of what your company looks like 3 years from now. Almost again, as if you kind of hopped out of the time machine and you walked around like, what would I describe my meetings to look like? How would my meetings be running? How would people be interacting at meetings? What tools are we using in meetings? You describe all of that. But then all of a sudden your brain goes, oh, marketing. We'll go write down a couple more marketing ideas. The key when you're doing this mind map is to spend a few hours doing it, right? If you want to smoke a doobie, smoke a doobie. If you want to put on some headphones and allow your mind to listen to some beautiful music as you're doing it, do that. Anything that gets your creatives to go. I usually inhale rosemary oil,
yeah,
which is an aromatherapy that allows you to open up your creative juices. In fact, that's how I met Simon Sinek, who wrote the book Start With Why. Simon read about me in 2003 using rosemary oil as a creative outlet or creative juice. So allow your mind to drift, write down all the ideas. And the key is don't worry about how it's going to happen. Mm. Right? When I was getting ready to build a home in Vancouver, I didn't worry about how they were going to do the electrical or how they were going to do the plumbing or how they were going to hang the cabinets. I described the home. And I let the contractors and the teams that the contractor hired figure out how to make my vision come true. My job is to describe it in vivid detail so that others can figure out the how. So the entrepreneur is to figure out where we're going and describe it in enough rough points. After 1 or 2 sessions offsite, you should have enough to meet with someone like a Jennifer Houdet and her team at Conscious Copy to have them really craft out the beautiful vivid vision for you.
So let's go back a few steps. The zone that you do this in is really, really important. And I'm glad that you kind of were explicit about that. This isn't something that you're doing at your office. It's probably like, even your local coffee shop is probably not far removed enough. You need to get somewhere that is like fresh and novel so that you're not, there's no pre-wired thoughts or patterns whirring away in the background. The mind map thing is really important. You say no screens, no iPad, no computer. You literally want to go pen to paper. So this mind map section is true. It's quite rough, right? Like you're just going category by category, and it could be bullet point and a few word sentences on each where you're just kind of brain dumping.
And you'll add categories as you go. Where I used to go and do mine, I was going to pull up a photo to show you, but I would go and lie in my hammock in my backyard. And I would put some headphones on and I would listen to the Grateful Dead and I would just allow my mind to drift and think about the future. And just by lying in the hammock for a few hours, I would kind of think about, well, what are my employees like? And then I'd write down things that inspired me. And it's just by writing down, as you pointed out, a few words, a few rough notes, without worrying about the how, without trying to craft it into sentences. You're not trying to write the document. You're just scribbling down ideas for all the different business areas. So think about every business area on your org chart. Think about suppliers. Think about customers. Think about shareholders. Think about core values. Think about what it feels like when you're running the company. Describe your company culture. You're kind of thinking about the business and describing it without, again, knowing how it came true.
And then you mentioned this idea of like actually handing it off to a copywriter, which is not something I'd heard of. Like you'd actually pay someone to take like my big long brain dump and turn it into something a little like, what's the value in doing that? Is it just that it reads better? It's more concise?
Well, yeah. And you're handing it to somebody who's really, really good at it so they can do it. They can get it done in a really good way and they can do it faster. You know, look, you can go out and paint your own home.
Yeah.
But would you, right? Why would you paint your own home when you can hire somebody who loves to paint homes and it can be done really quickly? Because it would take us forever to do it. We'd probably screw it up. We'd probably hurt ourselves doing it. It might not look that great when we're done. So it's easier to pay a professional to do it who's done hundreds and hundreds of these things. And again, if you're a trained copywriter, if you're kind of in that 1 or 2% of the entrepreneurs who actually are a trained copywriter, then go for it. By the way, quick sidebar on this. Everyone listening, the next time you write a job posting where you're going to post a job to try to hire someone, get the job posting written so that it's 80 or 90% perfect and get a copywriter to polish that or run it through ChatGPT. I would even though run your Vivid Vision through ChatGPT and then get a professional copywriter to write this because they've done these before. They understand the power of actually kind of crafting this written word in a different way.
Is it written in the present tense? Do you literally write it like, oh, I'm so happy and grateful that my business looks and feels like
great
this?
Great question. Yeah, you're absolutely describing it. So it's like I walk into the meeting. I say, my team is excited and enthusiastic in the meetings.
Right.
Not my teams will be.
Yeah.
Or not, they are. You know, you're not describing what you achieve. You're describing what you are today.
Okay, cool. And then another thing I'd like you to comment on, this could end up being a bit of a tangent, but it's an important question, is this idea of, I think of it, the ambitious versus realistic spectrum when it comes to goal setting and strategy. And I wonder if you could comment on what the healthy approach to that is. Because too much of either, you know, doesn't work. Too conservative, boring, everyone goes to sleep. Too kind of like pie in the sky, nobody believes you, and it's probably not realistic. So there's got to be some way to navigate that.
Yeah, there is. So the key, as you put it, is it has to be realistic, right? There has to be. So I use a different acronym for SMART goals from most people. For me, the S is shared, meaning when you write down a goal, you have to share it with a coach, share it with a peer, share it with a coworker. Something happens when you share your goals with somebody else. It provides some level of accountability and more commitment. The M for me is measurable. And every goal has to have a dollar sign, a number sign, or a percentage sign in the actual goal, or it's too hazy, right? There's no way to measure it. You didn't kind of win the hockey game. You either won or you lost because there's a score being kept. The A means it has to be attainable. So there has to be some way that you can actually make this happen. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to sit down and look at the goal or look at your vivid vision and start working on some of the plans and go, you know what? There's no f-ing way. It's not going to work. Like, we're not going to be able to raise that much money. It's too big a project. And then you pare back the vivid vision into something that's realistic. Yes, it'll still feel like a bit of a stretch, but it has to feel attainable.
Okay. So you are in the camp more like me, where it's like, this does need to exist in the realm of reality. Because some, by the way, a lot of other podcasts or a lot of other gurus or authors would say something different, which is just go so incredibly to the moon and be so incredibly ambitious that, and don't worry about any of the details.
But that's what's called a BHAG.
Mm.
The big, hairy, audacious goal is the very audacious long-term stretch. So Jim Collins, in his book, Good to Great, introduced us to this concept of the BHAG, the big, hairy, audacious goal. What it is, and it's not a billion lives or a million whatevers, it's not to be measurable. It has to be a long-term 20 or 30-year stretch that from outside the company seems impossible and from inside the company seems plausible. So back in 1972, Nike's BHAG was to crush Adidas, which was freaking crazy back in 72. Google's BHAG in 1997 was to democratize the world's information. Microsoft's BHAG in the late 80s was to put a computer on every desktop. My BHAG is to replace vision statements with vivid visions worldwide. So yes, your BHAG can be that very long-term stretch. And that's what everybody, I think, is talking about. But you're not going to put colonizing Mars is a BHAG.
Right.
But Elon doesn't have the specific vision for how that's all going to happen yet. It's just that aligning, wow, that would be cool, driving force that we're working towards. The 3-year plan, though, is, you know, putting all these satellites in space for Starlink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you would say about going back to something you said earlier? Don't worry about how this is going to happen. Why is that an important mental frame to have in this? And also, how do you stay disciplined about doing it? Because I'm just talking for me personally. I immediately click into step, 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 step. It's very, very hard for me to stay in that super creative space without going to, well, what is this going to take logistically, personnel-wise, time-wise, money-wise? So I wonder, just talk about why that's important and how to actually stay there in that creative space.
Okay, so once your vivid vision is crafted, then we are as a company going to switch gears into how to make it come true, right? Thomas Edison said, vision without execution is hallucination. So we can't just craft a vivid vision and hope it comes true. Once we have this vivid vision, we're then going to put the plans in place to make the vision come true. And then we're going to start hiring the people and putting the resources in place to execute the plans to make the vivid vision come true. Much like building my dream home. To build the dream home, I'm absolutely going to need the blueprints and the architectural drawings, the elevation drawings, and the people and the contractors and the stuff to make it come true. But I'm not going to worry about how to do the electrical first. I'm going to worry about describing the dream home first. Once it's described, then yes, you absolutely switch gears. In fact, my friends, I'm really, really close friends with Dan Sullivan and Ben Hardy, who wrote the book Who Not How, and they talk about the CEO's job is to recognize they don't need to know how to make it come true. They need to find the right who's to make their vivid vision come true. That's hiring the right second in command, which is why I wrote the book, The Second in Command. It's growing the skill sets of your management and leadership team. It's why I crafted the Invest in Your Leaders course. When you start getting the right people in the right seats, like Jim Collins talked about, and you give them the skills and the confidence and the connections to do their job, they'll figure out how to make your vivid vision come true.
Is this what you mean when you talk about this idea of reverse engineering in the book?
Yes. Yes, exactly. It's funny. I thought I coined the term reverse engineering. It turns out people have been using it forever. I didn't know that. I thought I coined it like 15 years ago. I've always seen things kind of backwards. When I see the goal for something or when I know the finish state, I kind of somehow figure out the steps to get there. And I also figure out the shortcuts and the cheat sheets or the path of least resistance to get there. So for your vivid vision, you're going to start reverse engineering it. And I keep going back to this analogy of building a home. It's the analogy that's always worked for me. You know, strangely enough, you're running the Contractor Evolution, so it probably works for everybody listening and watching. But it's the analogy I've always used. When I'm clear on what my home looks like, I can draw the blueprints. In fact, when I was building the home, if I go back to 2001, I remember having these sketches and drawings that I handed to our contractor in Vancouver of the fireplace and what I wanted the fireplace to look like. I was so clear on what I wanted it to look and feel like as part of the whole home. And then, I don't know, 6-7 months into the construction project, I walked into the front door and I turned into the living room, and right in front of me was my fireplace. And there was a guy sitting on the ground working on part of it. And I kind of walked up to the fireplace with the same awe that I would have looking at the Sagrada Familia. I was like so excited. And I said, oh my gosh. And he goes, is it what you wanted? And I go, yes. And he holds up a little picture that I had given the contractor 7 months before. And he said, I'm just working from the picture. And what I realized was, when your vision is so clear, then an employee that you've never met can execute that vision. Mm-hmm. And that's the power of this stuff.
It's a really powerful point. And I, you know, this idea of reverse engineering is something that I think is become pretty widespread in business. You reverse engineer candidates from ideal candidate profiles, and you build job postings and job descriptions. You can reverse engineer financial plans and budgets based on a desired net. You can literally do this process to anything in your business that you want. But it does take this sort of bold visionary thinking at the outset to even give you the model to reverse engineer off of. I want to talk about this internal and external rollout idea, Cameron. Like,
yeah.
So you make the case that there's two audiences for this thing. There's your team and your stakeholders, and then it sort of sounds like there's also like the general public who you want to loop into this too. Do you want to maybe just put a finer point on that?
Sure. There's a few stakeholders. You have your leadership team, you have your employees, you have your customers. And then you have your accountant, your lawyer, your bankers, and then you have, I think I said customers. So then you also have the potential customers, and you have your potential employees, right? Your current customers, you want them to see what you're building so they're excited about it and they can talk about it and they can feel confident with you and stick with you. You want your potential customers to see your vivid vision so they decide to work with you, they decide to have you work with them. You want your current employees to be inspired and love where they're going, or to quit and go somewhere else because they don't love the vivid vision. And you want new great employees to be excited by what they get to build. And then you want the alignment. You want it to be easier for the leadership team to make decisions and plans. You want your bankers and accountants and lawyers to understand it so they understand how best to support you. So it's all of these different stakeholders have different uses for that vivid vision to help you make your dream come true. My core purpose, and it was funny, Simon Sinek, who I mentioned a while ago, helped me craft my why, my core purpose, one night sitting in my kitchen in Vancouver. And we came up with, my core purpose has always been to help entrepreneurs make their visions come true. I started coaching entrepreneurs in 1989, way before coaching was even a thing. And I've always wanted to help entrepreneurs make their visions come true, whether that's by growing their COO or growing their leadership team or helping them with vivid visions or with my speaking, whatever it is. It's always helping them grow that business. So the tool of the vivid vision helps everybody else make the entrepreneur's vision come true in a different way, though.
What should we do with that cohort of people who read this and are not into it, with like this group of laggards on the team who, just kind of roll their eyes or go, here we go again, or Cameron's off on one of his great sort of like, you know, idea brainstorming sessions, and now we're going to have to deal with all the work that comes therein. Thoughts on dealing with that group?
Yeah, so interesting. Years ago, I was doing a speaking event in Vancouver, Canada. And the company was called CityMax, and the CEO's name was Dean Gagneau. And we had pulled all 85 of Dean's employees offsite to a curling club, strangely, in Canada. We were running the leadership team meeting at this club. And at the end of running this leadership team meeting, Dean rolled out his vivid vision for what CityMax was going to look like 3 years later to all 85 employees. And at the end of his presentation, where they were all reading through it together, Dean, on a slide deck, said, and tomorrow morning when you come to work, please go to this address. And they're like, what? He's like, what you don't realize is that today, while we were all off site, a moving company came and packed up our entire company and moved us to this address. And then he started showing photos of the new location. And he said, 85% of you are so excited to see what your new office looks like to help us build this vivid vision. And 15% of you are terrified and know that this is the wrong company for you, that means it's the right time for you to quit. Within 6 weeks, 15% of his company had quit. And 2 years later, Dean ranked as the number two company in Western Canada to work for. You have to be comfortable in knowing that when the right people are aligned, they'll go through brick walls for you and the other people can go somewhere else. Back in 2007, when Steve Jobs launched the iPhone, he was crazy enough to say there was going to be no keyboard. And if you wanted to build a phone with a keyboard, you could go work for Nokia or go work for BlackBerry, for RIM. But if you were crazy enough to want to build this, come to the dark side and join the future. That's where you have to be. Because if your vivid vision is so watered down, no one's going to care. No one's going to be inspired.
Have you found that 85%, 15% ratio somewhat instructive here? Like, is that generally where things, or is that just that example?
That was that example. It might be a little high, but you definitely, when you're rolling out the vivid vision, you want to find the employees that are rolling their eyes. They're not that bought in. They're not that excited. They're debating everything because they're already unhappy. You know, I think it was Zappos who said that in the first 2 weeks of onboarding a new employee, they would say something to the effect of, if this doesn't sound like the kind of company you want to stick with, we'll pay you $3,000 if you quit by Friday. Because they just want those people off the bus early rather than sticking around for 3 months and 6 months. And the reality is, when you're so clear on what your vision looks like, you only want people that are excited to build that. It might be the right time for them to go somewhere else. Don't feel upset if an employee quits and goes somewhere else. It's the right thing for them to go somewhere else.
Mm. And then another question I can't help but ask is, like, the fear of this getting into the wrong hands. Like if you're being quite public with this, are, you know, I can see an entrepreneur being really scared about a competitor seeing this, or, you know, someone else. Like, is it just sort of a waste of thought and energy?
Really great question. So you're not giving the actual plans to make this come true. Your vivid vision does not include your hiring plan. It doesn't include your budgets. It doesn't include your cash flow. It doesn't include your kind of strategic plan. It's not the one-page plan that you're giving out. So no, you would never give out your one-page plan to your competition, but you can share your vivid vision of what you want. They're never going to have the people and the team and the plans to make that come true. The vision of what you're building usually has your competition kind of laughing, because from the outside, all they can see is today. And they don't have the aligned people driving towards what you're driving towards. By the time that they get excited, you've already beaten them.
When writing these, rolling these out, refining these, sharing these, whatever, are there any really common mistakes that you would encourage listeners to avoid?
Wow. Yeah. Don't put how you make the sentences come true. Don't explain how you hang the cabinets or how you put in the electrical or how you make the meat. Like, don't explain the how. Just describe the future state. Leave it there. Let the team figure out the how. The CEO's job, and again, as Gino Wickman in his book Rocket Fuel and Traction talked about the visionary and the integrator. The visionary's job is to describe the vision. The team's job is to figure out how to make it come true. So I would really avoid that one. Next thing is, I would avoid putting a lot of numbers in place. This is not a series of goals. It's not a series of metrics. It's not a series of, you know, achievable milestones. So try to keep some of those out of your vivid vision. And then another part is, don't get all of your employees or all of your leadership team to help you craft it. It's the CEO's job to architect and explain the vision. It's the leadership team's job to figure out how to make it come true. If you try to get everybody to contribute on crafting that vivid vision, it becomes so watered down that it's not as inspiring. It's not as magnetic as if it was just owned by that one person.
Okay, this is a really important point right here, because you're saying it's the CEO, it's sort of the visionary leader's job to do this unilaterally, do this on their own. Some strategic planning sort of coaches or advisors would make the case that you need to involve your team quite heavily, but perhaps what they're talking about is more that one-page strategy. They're talking about including them in the how, not correct, so much the pictures. Is that the right distinction?
Yes, exactly. Now, what's really interesting is, a lot of companies say they're having a strategic planning meeting. You're having a strategy meeting, or you're having a planning meeting. But strategy and planning are very different things. Strategy is figuring out kind of the where you're going and the potential ways to approach something and kind of looking at it from lots of different perspectives. And then the plan is figuring out how to make that strategy execute or how to make the goals come true or how to get to the vivid vision. So yes, it's a separate part for sure.
Now, I have always been a big
fan. And by the way, that's why I say that things like the Vision Traction Organizer and the One Page Plan are critical things that every company needs after you have that vivid vision in place, not in spite of it.
Yeah. I've always been a huge fan of the idea of providence, which in a few sentences is basically when you get really clear and committed to a goal, an idea, a mission, whatever, and it gets kind of woo-woo, it gets kind of spiritual. The universe has a funny way of kind of helping you out. And I wonder if you have any spiritual woo-woo inklings to this, or you've seen stuff like that happen where a visionary gets incredibly clear, not just in their head, but in writing, and is communicated well, and you start to see dominoes just fall for them, doors start to open for them.
Oh, yeah. Well, so I've also crafted a vivid vision for my life. So I've described Cameron Harold. I wrote it 2 years ago, but I've described my life, me as a human, me as a friend, me as a father, me as a spouse, me as a lover, me as a person in the community. And I've described a 4-page description of me. And then my wife and I crafted a vivid vision for ourselves and our marriage together, how we were interacting as partners, as lovers, as travelers, as, you know, spiritual, fitness, friends, family. And when we passed our vivid vision to our friends, they're starting to make sentences come true. Mm-hmm. So the more people that you share the vision for your life or your marriage or your company, they see one or two little sentences and they start to help you make those come true. One of the parts of my vivid vision talks about how I'm actually doing more in Europe. I'm doing more with the COO Alliance in the Middle East. I'm now based in Dubai. I'm now landing speaking events in Europe. In front of it's weird, but this spring I'm speaking twice in Dublin, Ireland, which will be country number 29 for me. I'm speaking in Ibiza in April, and all those three speaking events happened because in my vivid vision, it talked about me speaking in the future and me doing more work in Europe and the Middle East. Those are starting to line up for me. I've done 3 podcast interviews in Dubai in the last 3 months, all 3 of them in person, 1 TV and radio and 2 big podcasts, because I was describing that. And then people say, oh, I saw that you wanted to do that. Let me introduce you. We all want to help someone. We all want to give them the shortcuts. And if we can help them make one sentence come true, right? Oh, I know a great electrical contractor. Oh, I know a great plumber. I know a great tiling place. I know a place you can buy the coolest roofing shingles. We kind of give that person that one little tip we've got to help them make their home come true.
This is a really fun question to end on. For someone who's never done this before, and they're listening and they go, yeah, this makes sense. This really clicks. You know, I want to try this. And let's say they go and rent a cabin in the woods this weekend, and they go and they follow every step to a T. You know, 3 months down the road, 6 months down the road, however long, are there ever any like tells or signs or things that you could tell this, you know, this new vivid visioner to look out for that would let them know it's working?
Yeah. You're going to, in the first 1 to 3 months, you're going to have a lot of people think you're crazy. You're going to have a lot of people think you are smoking way too much weed. You're going to have a lot of people think, oh, it's just another crazy thing. You have to keep communicating it and communicating and communicating it until some of those ideas start to stick. So be careful in the first 3 months you don't get too disillusioned because people say it's impossible or you're nuts. But then all of a sudden, you're going to start to get people say that they're excited about certain parts. They're going to start mentioning certain parts of the vivid vision. They're going to come to you with ideas on how to make it come true. And you will see that energy start to shift in your favor. It's kind of like when you're building the home, the whole stage of like bulldozing the property and pouring the foundation is pretty freaking boring. And that day that you come to the property and you see the walls start to go up, it feels like the home is starting to get built. That's kind of what happens in the vivid vision process as well. What I like to do is every quarter, take the vivid vision as a Word document and start highlighting the sentences that have come true in green, so that quarter after quarter after quarter, this 4 or 5 page Word document starts becoming more and more green. And it's almost like watching the home start to you know, come to fruition or come to completion.
Mm, I love that description. People will think you're crazy at first, and then you'll get some walls up, you'll get a door on, things will start to take shape.
Yeah.
You've mentioned it a couple times, but I do want to just have you maybe talk a little bit just specifically to our audience about the COO Alliance. And I don't know if maybe you can think of like the construction trades type business, the maturity sure. level, the sophistication level where sure. they may have a COO and the COO Alliance may make sense.
Yeah. So every single entrepreneur that's listening to the podcast right now is working on growing their skills. If they're a part of a mastermind community in your space, they're growing their skills and their connections and their confidence. And most entrepreneurs grow themselves, right? Whether they're a part of Vistage or Tech or Genius Network or EO or YPO, they're usually a part of some community for, or even a community in their industry where they're growing their skills and confidence. But that only takes your company so far. What we want to do is grow the skills of our leadership team. And so we created this one community called the COO Alliance, which is a network of second in commands from lots of different industries, virtually every industry you could ever imagine. And then you need at least $5 million or greater in revenue to qualify. So it's real businesses growing real companies. We hold two in-person events every year. One is always held in Vancouver, Canada. One is always held at MIT in Boston. And then we also host two-hour events every month online via Zoom. And no entrepreneurs or CEOs are allowed to come. It's only for your second in command, whether it's a COO or a VP Ops, whatever the title is. The second way that you can grow your people is they invest in your leaders course. And this is where you grow the skills of anyone who is managing people. And if you use the promo code CameronH10, it'll give you and any of your management team 10% off. So Benji, that's for your audience. If they use CameronH10 for the invest in your leaders course, they'll get 10% off.
Okay, we'll put that in the description. Cameron, thank you so much for your time again today. This has been awesome. Really appreciate the vivid explanation of how to do a vivid vision.
Great questions. This was really fun. I'm glad that you actually asked so much. I've never thought I could sit and talk about the one concept for this long, but you asked some really insightful questions. I appreciate it.
Thanks, brother. Thanks so much for watching this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our channel, consider sharing this episode with another contractor who you think needs to hear it.
Paynet podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and are made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.